The message of the Gita can be summarized in this verse from Kathopanishad. It says, Uttishtha Jagrata Prapya Varan Nibodataha Churasya Dhara Nishita Duratyaya Tat Kavayo Vadanti Durgam Pathas Tat Kavayo Vadanti. So, Kathopanishad was a dialogue between Lord Death, Yama, and Nachiketa, the student. And a lot of the verses and ideas in the Bhagavad Gita have been taken from the Kathopanishad. As we know, the Gita is a summary of all the Upanishads. So this particular verse from the Kathopanishad, which I think kind of summarizes the entire message of Bhagavad Gita, we are towards the end. So if you want to know in a nutshell, this verse explains it beautifully. It says, Uttishtha Jagrata. Uttishtha means awake. Uttishtha means arise. And Jagrata means awake. You see, you're saying the opposite. Normally, first you awake and then you arise out of bed. Why is the Rishi saying arise and then awake? Because he wants us to get out of our old habits of ignorance, foolishness, suffering, and awake to this higher truth which the Lord himself has given to us in this message. So he says, wake up to this truth and give up your old misconceptions and ideas, because the Gita is full of such beautiful ideas that we never even thought of, we never even knew. So this knowledge is giving us the new ideas. Prapya varan nibodataha. So he says, now when you, after you have woken up and decided that this is what you're going to do with your life, then you need to approach a teacher. Varan are the teachers, and then learn from them properly. Nibodataha. And then how do you live your life according to the Gita? So Rishi is actually kind of very firm. He says, Shurasya dhara nishita duratyaya. He says, it is like walking on a razor's edge. Once you are on this path of spirituality, it's like you're walking on a razor's edge, just as if you're walking on a blade, razor's blade. The slightest slip, if you go, you fall and you get cut. So this spiritual path is like that. Once you have studied, then you have to practice it 100%. You cannot be, it's okay, sometimes I can lie, sometimes I can cheat, sometimes I can be dishonest, sometimes I can be angry, sometimes I can be selfish. No. I have to live my life straight and narrow. Only then your progress is possible. So our old habits, you know, it's okay once in a while, you know, everybody. No, not like that. If I am living the Gita life, then I have to live it 100%. So I have to resolve. Then only this knowledge will benefit me. Otherwise, still the knowledge will benefit you listening. But if you want to truly change your life, it has to be a firm resolution that this path is not easy. Durgam pathas tat kavayo vadanti. So the kavis, kavi in, of course in Hindi and many languages means poet, but in Sanskrit, in the Upanishad literature, when they use the word kavi, they mean the wise people, the realized masters who have already walked this path. And they tell us that this path is not easy. It's difficult to cross. So they say, well, you know, why is he making it so tough? He's not making it so tough. He's telling you the truth, because lifetimes and lifetimes of ignorance we have been living. And so all of a sudden you start one day and, you know, you're not going to change. And anything to be successful in the world, we have to work. You start a new business, you have to work hard. To get an engineer's degree or a doctor's degree or a lawyer's degree, you have to work hard. To do anything worthwhile in this world, we have to work hard. And then only the joy of success is more. If somebody's father is rich and he gives him the business and he says, you go ahead and run it, and he runs it, ruins it, he has no joy of accomplishment. You know, he got the money, he was used to living rich. But if you have yourself, with the sweat of your brow, developed the business, where I started with one little store, now I have this huge franchise, then you feel, okay, you know, I have, it's like So you are going on to 178 towards Lake Isabella, and you tell me, oh, I climbed that little hill, 200 feet. What's the big deal in that? What did you do? But if you say, no, I climbed Mount Whitney, or I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, or somebody even climbed Mount Everest, wow, that is an accomplishment. So anything worth doing, so this is the highest accomplishment that we can obtain, much more than going to the moon, much more than climbing Everest, much more than, becoming Bill Gates. This accomplishment is the highest, and so it needs effort. It's not meant to scare us. It's meant to tell us that we need to be sincere in our effort, and result is guaranteed. That's why he says, Kavayo Vadanti. So people who have already done this, who have already reached this path, so they are telling us. So it's not only Krishna. You can say, oh, Krishna is Bhagwan. If he tells us, he already has everything. But wise people who have trodden this path and have succeeded, they are our gurus, our teachers, like Gurudev Swami, Chinmayananda. So you can learn and benefit from their example. We can learn. So that is the essence of this verse. That make a change in your life, but once you decide, then it is a razor's edge. You have to live a life with attention, with alertness, and it can be accomplished only by the help of a guru. You say, why do we need a guru? Why I can read on the internet, I can read in the books, but in life we need a guru. To learn golf, you need a teacher, you need a pro. To play tennis, to learn computers, even to learn cooking, our mother taught us. Anything in this world to learn, you need a teacher, so also this guru. So that is the essence of what we have studied so far. So now, last week, after the teacher had finished his teachings, Sarva Dharman Parityajya, give up all your activities and devote your life to me, and I will save you. I will take you myself to my abode. Then last week he had told us the glory of the teacher, one who teaches, how he is very dear to me. That's what Krishna says. And also one who studies this scripture carefully, reads it with attention, he is very dear to me. So how about listening? We are all listening. So what about the listener? So Krishna says, I'll also address the listener. That's verse number 71. Shraddhavanana suyascha Shrunuyadapi yo naraha Sopi mukta shubhan lokan Prapnuyat punya karmanam. So shraddhavan. So the first quality for a listener is not just to passively listen, but have shraddha. Now what is shraddha? It is translated in English as faith. But Shraddha means a lot more than that, so we'll talk about that. So Shraddhavan, that is the first quality of a student who is listening, and Anasuya, so who has no malice, who is not criticizing, who is not just blindly saying, oh, this is useless, this is old knowledge, 8,000 years ago, Krishna was telling Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, today we are in the computer age, how is this knowledge? I think you're wasting your time. So somebody who sits with that attitude will not benefit from this teaching. So one who listens with Shraddha and without malice, without criticism, we're not saying that you blindly accept it. You question it, you discuss it, when you are convinced, but straight out to reject it is, obviously it's not going to benefit, anybody. So he says, one who has faith, one who has no malice, shrunuyat, and who may listen, whoever that nara may be. Nara means human being, male, female, young, old, whoever that person may be. Sa api, he or she also, mukta, becomes free, becomes liberated. And what happens to such an individual? Shubhan lokan prapnuyat. attains the higher worlds, the happy worlds, the happiest, or what we call as heaven, person attains punya karmana. So one who has done lot of punyas, lot of good deeds, his life not only on this world is good, but then after death, the person attains heaven. And then what happens to that person, we'll talk about that. So first of all, the main quality here is the one is Shraddha. Now, Shraddha is not only faith. Shraddha, Shankaracharya ji in Vivek Chudamani describes it very well. When he talks about Shraddha, he says, Shastrasya Guru Vakyasya Avadharanam. The correct meaning of the Shastras and the Guru Vakya. Satya Buddhya Avadharanam. So Shastrasya Guru Vakyasya Satya Buddhya Avadharanam. So first of all, the person listens to the scriptures and to the gurus, and then decides that this is right for me, this is correct. Because the scriptures we cannot study on our own. If you, some of these verses, if you take a Sanskrit dictionary and translate, it won't make any sense to you. We need a teacher like Swami Chinmayananda, all of you have his commentary, his book, to interpret these verses, to translate them. So the teacher is required. So the scripture, faith in the scripture, faith in the guru. But Shraddha is not only emotional. It's not, oh, Bhagwan, I have Shraddha in you. You know, we say, oh, you must have Shraddha. And a lot of times people misuse that. Like these, some of these people will say, I am your guru. You need to have Shraddha in me. And what is the Shraddha? You know, just come and, you know, give me whatever. No, not like that. Shraddha means intellectually understanding and being convinced. So Shraddha is not only a function of the mind where I love this knowledge, but I have understood it. So clear understanding and understanding the true meaning, because these scriptures are all symbolic. Not only the Gita, but in the Upanishads, even the Bible has so much symbolism. So many stories in there which are so symbolic. Unless you know the meaning, stories won't make any sense. So similarly, the words of the scriptures are symbolic. Why? Because this highest truth of Om, of Brahman, of God, is not possible to be communicated in human language. Human language is incapable of describing who that Brahman is or what that Brahman is. The Upanishads come closest we can to describing this knowledge, and Sanskrit is the language that is very fit, very appropriate to describe this knowledge. But even that only can indicate. So when a student listens from the teacher, then what does the student do? First is listening, not hearing. See, hearing is a function of the ears. Listening is a function of the mind. So you listen with your mind, because the ears, you may be listening, you may be hearing, but your mind may be somewhere else. Maybe you're thinking about something else. And then your attention is not here. And so then the knowledge is not complete. Like, you know, you go home and somebody says, you know, what did you listen in the Gita class? I don't know, he was talking about some razor blade, you know. Razor, why was he talking about shaving in the Gita? No, so we have to listen with the mind. Your mind has to be fully there. Then the teaching has to be absorbed. It has to go within us. It has to become my knowledge. Right now, whatever we are reading is Swami Chinmayanandaji's knowledge, Gurudev's knowledge. It has to become my knowledge. And then not only I have to absorb, I have to assimilate it in my being, where it becomes absolutely clear to me. It has to be assimilated. It's like anything else, you know, medicine or engineering. You first you read in the books, then you absorb it, then you assimilate it, and then you go out and practice it. So having assimilated, I have to live this knowledge. Then only my understanding is complete. So as we said in the introduction, that when after I listen to the teacher, I have to live that path. Shurasya Dhara Nishita Duratyaya. It's a difficult path, but we have to do it. And the teacher is not talking to my ears or not even talking to my mind. The teacher is talking to my soul. This knowledge belongs to the soul, not just to the mind, but to my inner being. And that has to connect with the soul of the teacher. Then and then only the understanding. And ultimately, that has to connect me with God. So this knowledge, he says, what happens to such a person? Mukta. He becomes free. So what do we mean by free? You know, we are already free. We're living in a free country. You can vote for whoever. You can criticize. You can write letter in the newspapers. But in Vedanta, when they use the word freedom, what they say is that we are so bound by so many of our habits, our past prejudices, our misconceptions, our selfish tendencies. We are attached so much to objects, things, dependent on persons for my happiness or depending on things. So free means I am independent, I am free, I am happy. Situations may come and go. It's not that this person is not affected by world situations, but he or she, my happiness does not depend on that. So that is called freedom. The moment I say that this condition should change and then I'll be happy, then it makes you dependent. So a true seeker, a true devotee of the Lord only depends on the Lord for shelter. And he says, you are my father, you are my tvameva mata pita tvameva. We always say that, tvameva bandhu sakha. So you are my father, you are my brother, you are my mother, you are my friend. And I don't need anybody else to make me happy. So finding that happiness within, ultimately happiness is within. It's not outside, it's not in objects. Because objects can change, people can change. But if I have discovered the true happiness, then that is called freedom. And then we already talked about no malice. So then such a person goes to higher worlds. And even the sixth chapter, Arjuna asks Krishna, he says, Krishna, how about I'm on this path, but if I don't reach and my body drops, then what will happen to me? You know, will my life be wasted like this cloud? In the summer, sometimes we get these clouds that appear for a while and leave without giving us any rain. And then we say, oh, you know, and of course, this year we don't have a drought. But when there's drought and the cloud appears and then it goes away, you get disappointed. So he says, will my life be like that? So Krishna says, no, nothing is wasted. Intellectual knowledge, you'll have to start again in your next life. You may be a PhD in English, but next life, when you're born, you still have to say A for apple, B for ball, C for cat. You'll have to learn from childhood. But the spiritual knowledge, what you have acquired in your soul, your whatever progress you have made spiritually, that continues. That does not end. So that does not get wasted. So you don't have to think, you know, I am already now 50, 60 years old. What is the use? I don't think I can reach what Krishna state. It's okay, next life may karenge. You know, we have that reason. He says, no, you start wherever you are. Wherever you reach, it's like a relay race. You know, next life, there Bhagwan is waiting. Okay, here's your baton. Come on, continue your journey. So having gone to the higher worlds, then this person continues his or her spiritual journey. So Shubhan Lokan Prapnuyat Punya Karmanam. So because of his Punya Karmas, he has enjoyed the pleasures. Even in this life, if you look at a person who lives honestly, sincerely, his life is more free. He doesn't have to worry about the police, about the IRS, about, you know, who will catch me. But a person who is not following the law is always worried. It's the same thing like you're speeding. Somebody, if the limit is 65, he's driving 65, 68. He doesn't have to worry. He just keeps on driving. But the guy who's driving 75, 80, he's always looking. You know, anybody, highway patrol there, or he has his little detector, you know. So he's always worried. So same way, if you're following the law and doing the right thing, you have no fear. So his life in this world itself is good. Then the person enjoys a lot of heavenly bliss, heavenly joys. which we, they talk about in all the faiths, you know, there's heaven where there is all the comforts, all the pleasures, and then you continue your journey. Heaven is not the end of life. End of life is to realize the truth, become one with God, and that does not happen in heaven. Heaven is like Hawaii multiplied 100 times. You go there, you enjoy, and then you continue your spiritual journey till you have realized the truth, till you have experienced oneness with God who is within. There are some very beautiful stories I have today. It's actually, this is one of my favorite stories, King Vipaschit. So King Vipaschit was a great king, like Ashoka, you know, how Ashoka, after he did so much for his subjects. So this was also a very evolved king. He always took care of his people, and whatever money came, he used it to serve them. He himself was very gentle, very loving, very humble, and never thought that I am very arrogant. Not only that, but he was spiritually very evolved. He always welcomed masters and saints, and he sat at their feet and learned from them and took care of them. He established centers of learning. Very evolved saint, very evolved, but a king. So after he passed away, when his time to go, and it says Bhagavan, he was a Krishna devotee, Bhagavan Krishna himself came. And he said, okay, come on, king, it's time for you. I'll take you to Vaikuntha, my loka, and you can enjoy as long as you want because you are very evolved. So he tells Bhagavan Krishna, he says, yeah, it's okay, and I want to go, but can I go and see hell first? I've heard there is this place called hell. Can I go see that first? Then I will come to heaven. Krishna, this is a strange request. I'm taking him to heaven and he wants to go to hell. He says, okay, here's one of my angels and he will take you to hell, show you hell, and then you can come. I'll be waiting for you in heaven. So he takes his subtle body, goes with the saint, with this angel, and the angel takes him to hell. Now, when the king Vipaschit lands there, he finds that people are coming, running to him and just greeting him. And they have tears of joy in their eyes and they're just holding him and they are so delighted to see him. And everything, he says, tells us, angel, I thought you were taking me to hell. This looks like heaven. Everybody is so happy. Everybody is so peaceful. I thought I told you to take me to hell. You know, he was a king, so he was used to having it. I thought I told you to take me. He says, Raja, this is hell. Look around you. Look there, look there, look there. People are suffering. But wherever you are, because of your spiritual sadhana, people around you are happy. And that's why they're coming and touching you and holding you and just, you know, just being in your company, because you are creating a little heaven wherever you go. So you know what King Vipaschit says? He says, I don't need to go anywhere. I have found my heaven. I'll stay here. So this story is so inspiring that people say, oh, you know, world is full of so much misery and so much, you know, 7/8 of the people don't have water to drink. There is so much violence and so much. The world has always had problems. What we can do is we can create our little heaven wherever we are. Wherever you are, create a heaven. You cannot change the whole world. Can you change what is happening in Africa? People are starving or violence in the middle. No, you cannot do anything. All you can do is make my life heaven and people around me heaven. So I can be a source of love, source of compassion, source of caring, do unselfish work, maybe help a few people who are deserving. That's all I can do. That's all Krishna is asking from us. He's not asking you to change the world. We can't. It's his job or Guru's job. Somebody like Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda, millions of people, his influence has changed. But you and I cannot do that. All we can do is create a little heaven wherever we are. And then our life is accomplished. Our life is fulfilled. So that is what the message of this story is, that heaven is where you are. Heaven is not something that I can, while I am here, if my heart is kind and peaceful, I'm in heaven. If my heart is agitated, disturbed, angry, then I'm in hell, right here itself, if I'm angry all the time. if I'm disturbed, if I'm upset, I read the internet all the time and then I get angrier and angrier. Why is he doing that? Whatever the president is doing, why do I have to get so worked up? Or whatever the, you know, people will continue to do that. People will, I have to not get myself disturbed. Then, you know, people say, you know, you say listen from teachers. Now, how about Gurudev? Like, I have not met Gurudev, right? So, in fact, there is a beautiful story Swami Ishwarananji tells. He says there was this man in Bangalore, young man, who was a singer, bhajan singer. So he was a young, so he used to be in the bhajan group. He used to go to Chinmaya Mission, Bangalore, but sing bhajans. Never went to any lectures. Never. I don't understand. You know, some of the people are like that. I like to sing Bhagwan's glory. That's very good. And so happened by mistake, he went to one or two lectures of Swami Chinmayananda. He somehow happened to, somebody took him and he heard one or two lectures. That's it. And he said, this is not for me. So his time passed, then he graduated, became an engineer, and then he went to the Punya Bhumi. You know what is Punya Bhumi? Dubai. Everybody has to go there. Everybody from South India, first they have to go to Dubai, then they go anywhere else. So he went to Dubai and did his worked for a few years, and then he ended up in the States, and he ended up in Arkansas, in Rogers, you know, where Walmart is. And his children were growing up and they were like 8, 7 or 8. And he said, you know, I need to give them this knowledge. He said, yeah, I had heard Swami Chinmayananda one time many years ago and that seemed to be very useful. So how can I find out? So he gets on the website, goes to Chinmaya Mission, you know, Pennsylvania, where the website is, orders books from there and starts teaching his children and a few of the children. And soon that becomes a full-blown center with 150 children in Bal Vihar. And he's the president of Chinmaya Mission, Arkansas. He goes to represent them. So the point is that Gurudev had this ability that if you listen to him once, he could change your life. Actually, I was also blessed. My mother used to take me to listen to Gurudev when I was a teenager. I don't remember too much. But that influence, because once you have contact with a realized master and you have heard him or her, changes your life. So people here, now all of them are saying, we never heard Gurudev. Gurudev is not here anymore. He left his body in 1993. What should I do? So Gurudev himself says, it's like saying that I want to learn physics only from Einstein. I'm not going to learn from anybody. Einstein is long gone. And even when Einstein was there, how many people could he teach? But he wrote books. He gave talks. So similarly, if we have not met Gurudev personally, but we have his books. So you can buy his books and read. You can listen to his audio talks. You can listen to his video talks. In fact, the entire Bhagavad Gita, all 18 chapters, audio is only, I think, $125. Or $150. The audio and the video is only $350. So all 18 chapters, and you can tell Guru, okay, start. So you press the button, so Guru has to start speaking. You say stop, then you rewind. Okay, start again. So poor Guru again and again. So you can do that. Why? Because you can listen again if you have not heard. So that is what they are saying, that even if we have not met these masters, but they have left books, they have left their recordings. So listen to them and apply this knowledge. And so that is also called listening. Not all of us can listen to Gurudev, but by listening to what he spoke. And actually, when you read the book or when you listen to his words, actually, I have his entire Bhagavad Gita I have written by hand. I have it in notebooks. You feel you're right there. The way he speaks, you know, after a while you get used to his accent and his style of thinking. You feel you're in the presence of Gurudev. You don't have to, you know, have him in the flesh just by listening to the words. And this knowledge is useful to us because it is the knowledge about myself. It talks about me, this body, mind and intellect, me, this perceiver, feeler and thinker, and me, this Om, this spiritual center in me. So the Gita is telling me who I am and how am I to grow, how am I to realize my true nature. So it is talking about myself. That's why it is very interesting. And actually, that's true. If somebody talks about us, we are very happy. Like if you go to somebody's house and he has this wedding album. In nowadays, of course, they have on CD. But in the olden days, they have this huge album. And they'll give you these 2-3 albums, you know, and you are getting very bored and you're just skipping. And then suddenly you see your picture. Oh, I'm here. Immediately you become interested. Rest of the album, you don't care, you know, wedding and where I am. Or if you go to your children's program, you know, child is performing in Bal Vihar or in the school play. Now the child may be a guard, you know, he's standing on one side. He has not even a single word to speak in the whole play. But your camera is all the time focused on him. You don't care. So similarly, this, because why? Because that child is me. So similarly, this knowledge is about me, myself, and I. So that's why this knowledge is very valuable. And that's what Krishna says. Listen to it with Shraddha, with faith, without complaining, without malice, and you will reach me. Gradually. See, the knowledge, reading is better than listening. But listening also can become reading when we do all those things. Listen, absorb, assimilate, and then start living. So that is the essence of this verse, that nothing is wasted. Listening even once, if you have, see, the glory of this Bhagavad Gita or any spiritual knowledge is that once you listen, if you listen with faith, you are hooked. That's what I have found. That's why Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda says, spirituality is a one-way street. It's only entry. Once you start on this path, then you can't turn back. Because you get such a joy, such a bliss, even though it's hard work, but it gives you a lot of joy. So that's why this is the path that we should all take, because it is full of joy and it is gives me a worthwhile accomplishment. So that is the essence of this verse. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pasyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Deo Namah Hari Om.